and speak to my lips, this word will come forth unhindered, unchecked by any outside force. And now we give you the praise and thank you for it. We call it done in Jesus' name. Can you say amen?
Amen.
All right. I'm going to start reading. Just a minute. Turn my Bible here. In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 22, in verse 34. And when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. And one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said to him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. And this is the first and great commandment. But the second is like, and the second is likened to it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Let's go over to 1 John. 1 John chapter 4. I'll start reading at verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. And he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is what?
Love.
God is love. Verse 12, no man has seen God at any time. And if we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. Verse 16. And we have known and believed the love. Say, believe the love. Underline that God has to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Glory to God. All right, we're going through this, and it's pretty good. Now, what's happening here is that you and I are on assignment. We're on assignment. We're in the kingdom of God, which is the rule of God in this earth, operating through the believer. The whole kingdom is in you. Now understand, this kingdom encompasses the earth. It encompasses all that God is and God has. But you and I have been designated to represent God to a world that doesn't know him. The best thing they know is, he took my daughter. And that's not true. So we've got to not just represent, represent. Because they don't know it. Now in this, our mission is to establish God's kingdom everywhere we're sent. Now I'm not sure what your assignment is, but I'm sure about mine. And the things that represent it here in this church and so forth are part of what he's given me to do. Now, with that in mind, he doesn't mean for me to get born again and then stop. Because he's got much more for me to do. And it's only a trick of the enemy to try to get me to get saved and satisfied. And that's not the deal. The deal is that he said over in Luke's Gospel, chapter 19, he said in verse 13, occupy till I come. And that means that we are to advance and hold. So there is no retirement in the kingdom. Now, you may retire from a job, but you pick up the kingdom. Because there's always more ground that you're going to take. Are you following what I'm saying? So he wants his kingdom to be established on earth. God said in Psalm chapter 2 and verse 8, he says, ask of me and I'll give you the heathen for thine inheritance and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Well, he doesn't want us to finish until the earth is covered. And that was Adam's assignment, that Adam was supposed to take the culture that was in the Garden of Eden. Now, the Garden of Eden basically came from the seeds of heaven. In other words, in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 8, he said that, and the Lord planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. Now, it's interesting because where did he get the seeds from to plant it? See, all of it came from heaven, because earth was supposed to be a copy of heaven, just like man was supposed to be a copy of God. So what happened with Adam is, of course, you know the story, that Eve ate of the fruit, gave to Adam, and he did eat. Now disobedience, boom, they've fallen. Now another whole nature is lodged inside of them, called the nature of iniquity, a nature of Satan himself, a nature of death. And so now he's headed towards death. You never hear anything about how old somebody was as long as Adam hadn't sinned. Amen. The moment Adam sinned, now everybody's getting to age. Why? Because they're going to die. They're headed towards death. Adam was made to live forever. But because of his disobedience. Now, the other thing that we said is because of his disobedience, now Satan is inciting mankind's imagination, and mankind now is cultivating another kingdom out there. He's spreading another culture out there that is not the culture of God. So what is it doing? It's getting worse and worse. You, when I was a kid, you couldn't see certain stuff on television. But now, look like, you know the story. Now, why is that? It's not because of them. It's because of the church. Because the church is the only institution, force, entity that is capable of stopping it and shifting the culture. Only ones. And so you and I have to wait. We got to understand, wait a second now, I'm put here for a reason. This is on my watch. And take this sense of responsibility for an earth that God has passed on to you. And he said, to tell you what, whatever you bind on it, will be bound out of heaven. And whatever you loose on it, heaven will allow. Now, what happens here? So, when I look at the church, I said three things: temptation, deception, and condemnation are the three things that Satan tries to operate in to keep us from being all that we're supposed to be. And his job is to, if he couldn't keep you from being born again, his job now is to keep us from occupying, from advancing until Jesus comes. And so, this idea of occupying, I want to talk about, because we got to possess this land. And possess means to control it. So now, I was reading from a man's writing, and he was talking about cruise control. And that when you put a car on cruise control, then you can take your foot off the accelerator. And even if it's going down a hill, it will slow the car down to keep the car at the set number of miles per hour that the cruise control has been set. And that the enemy puts the church on cruise control to keep the church from increase. And saved and sanctified. Pardon me, satisfied. Look what it says in Exodus. And over in the book of Exodus, this is God speaking now to Moses. And he's saying to Moses about I don't see some of my scriptures here, but that's all right. Let's go to, they were supposed to write them down in the first service. Exodus chapter 16. Let's look at that. And over in Exodus chapter 16, this is when God's going to feed the people manna. Now, I'm taking it slow because I want to cover some points here. And look what he said in verse 4. Then said the Lord unto Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my ways, my law, or not. Now, the things of God basically are laws. And the kingdom is made up of them. And that the things that God does and the way God does it is already set. So now, what you and I have to do is learn God's laws. Because the way you increase in God is through sowing. Are you with me? Now, this is different from the world, because the world, they don't do it like this. And so what happens sometimes is people try to apply human logic to God's laws, and it doesn't fit. I'm coming back to Exodus. Please just leave your Bible right there. But in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 8, and put that up there in the Amplified, please. But in Colossians chapter 2, verse 8, this is a key scripture for me. In Colossians 2 and 8, he says, "See to it that no one carries you off as spoil and makes you yourselves captives by his so-called philosophy and intellectualism and vain deceit, idle fancies, and plain nonsense. Following human tradition, men's ideas of the of the material rather than the spiritual world, just crude notions, following the rudimentary and elemental teaching of the universe and disregarding the teachings of Christ, the Messiah." Now, what are you saying? They're going by what they feel. They're going by what they think makes sense. But these things are antagonistic to the kingdom. These things are different from the kingdom. And these are laws that Jesus began to start teaching. And he kind of wondered one time, he said, "Now, wait a minute. When we had 5,000 and we fed them with 2 fish and 5 loaves, how much did we take up?" He said, "Okay, when we fed the 4,000 with so forth, how much did we?" He was trying to get them to, wait a minute. He said, "Are you still without understanding?" Now, I'm saying that this whole idea of you being saved is because you've been raised and coming in this last hour, because God has a mountain for you to take. And when that culture continues to flow into darkness like this, there has to be some force that is strong enough to bring it back so that people can live. Because just violating laws will lead a person to death. It's not that he doesn't want folks to have fun. He wants them to have fun. But if you violate the laws in having fun. So what happened is the enemy set up his own law. So he would take it and say that in our culture, living together before you get married makes sense, because you don't want to buy a car till you test it out. Am I right about it? But in God's kingdom, come on, he is saying that it's okay to remain a virgin. I'm just talking about laws now. I'm just talking about laws. Now, don't get under condemnation, because I told you that's one trick of the devil. "Well, I wasn't. Well, that's you. But we can teach our kids. We can teach the next generation. Why? It's violating the law. It's violating the law. Hate enough, and eventually it'll come back on your health. Because you're violating the law. It's not that he doesn't want you to just violate the law. Whole unforgiveness, watch this, eventually it'll put you in bondage. I was looking on television, a man apparently had gotten put in jail, but they found out after 20 years, whatever it is, that he didn't do it. And I saw that, and he was getting older. And they asked him on 60 Minutes or whatever it was, could you think you could forgive them? And that's what he paused. He said, "No, I can't forgive them." What, 1 month later, he was dead. Folks, thank God we can ask forgiveness. And because we can ask forgiveness, God forgives us. But he won't always chide. You can't keep doing that and doing that and doing it. Come on now. Are y'all with me? So now I've got to go. Part of my mission is I've got to go and possess my mountain. I've got to take what God has gifted me to do. And so when I do that, I'll build an influence. And as I build an influence and affluence, I'm going to talk about that later. But when I build, now I can influence people in that mountain. Because they're going to see something. They're going to see God is with me. And like I said, they didn't want to know anything about Joseph's father until Joseph solved their problem. And you are problem solver. As a matter of fact, you go where trouble is. Because you've got the greater one where? Inside of you. Now this is love now. This is, we're talking about obedience, obeying God and doing and being what God called us to be. Now, boy, can I keep going here? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So, we're back in Exodus. So notice what he said, I'm going to feed him. But now in verse 16, it says, this is the thing which the Lord hath commanded, gather of it every man according to his eating, an omer of every man, for every man, according, omer is about 4 quarts, according to the number of your persons, take ye every man for them which are in his tents. And the children of Israel did so, and gathered some more and some less. And when they did meet it with an omer, he that gathered as much had nothing left over, and he that gathered as little had no lack. They gathered every man according to his eating. Now here's his manna coming from heaven. And Moses said, let no man leave it until the morning. Notwithstanding, they hearkened not unto Moses, but some of them left of it until the morning, and it bred worms and stunk up their tent. And Moses was wroth with them. Now, why did they do this? Why did they leave it till the morning? Because they got it one day. But if I can just store some up, I don't need to trust him for the next day. And that's where people are coming from. They don't want to trust the God that saved them. See, he can save me, but he can't save this house I'm in. Or can't save this health I'm dealing with. Or whatever. Now I'm saying that now I want to put this thing on cruise control because I want to stay right where I am. And that's not God's plan. God has already planned to grow you. He has already planned to increase you how much? More and more. Keep going. You and your children. See, it's no time to put on the cruise control. It's time to put the pedal to the metal. Am I right about it? And what happens is people come and they're trying to get here by faith. By grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. It's not of works, lest anyone would boast. So we got to understand, wait a minute. This is not of works. This, that I didn't get saved by works. And watch this. I can't do what he's calling me to do by works. So once I come into the kingdom, I've got to change my attitude and understand that I'm no longer... am I going to achieve, but I'm going to believe God to
to just receive.
One more time. No longer am I going to achieve something. I'm not going to do it based on my performance. Abraham, now you're going to have a child. All right, then Abraham said, wait a minute, thinking now. Now, I'm past the age of childbearing. If you don't know what that means, it means I can't have sex anymore. I'm gone. Okay? Not, this is not me. This is Abraham I'm talking about. Okay? Now, I just want you to know that because I'm well able. I just, no. Okay, now. Okay, some of y'all, actually, you know, oh. Looking all strange. Okay, now. My point is that he had to wait until that Abraham couldn't have sex for him to give him a child through his body. He had to pick a man that was the dumbest of the bunch, named Gideon, because he didn't need your ability. He needed your availability. Why? Because it's not of works, lest anyone would boast. And I'm telling you, in these last days, this is where the church is going to have to go to dominate. Other than that, you're going to compete. And competing, you might lose. But when you dominate, there is no doubt about your victory. And that's what everybody's life. And that's everyone in here. So you have no excuse. I don't care what the excuses are, because we come now with all these excuses, see. But whatever you got, God can override that. Say amen to that. Amen. He can put an anointing on you for victory that no man can deny. Why? Because you're going to recultivate the earth. You're going out here and you're going to be fearless. And it's going to all be done by grace. Say amen to that. God's unmerited favor. Why he picked you, I have no idea. But you and I are here because I'm supposed to be used by God as my grace to be able to teach you how to walk by faith. And that through faith you access his grace, and that anything else that you need in this life, God has made it so that he laid it up for you, and all you've got to do is receive. I said, all you have to do is receive. Now, this is a key, because the enemy's temptation is to get you back in your own ability. And thank God you went and got an education. But it didn't say an education makes room for you. It says a gift will. And that gift you didn't get in that classroom. You got that gift from Almighty God. And the Bible says in Romans 11 that it's without repentance. But what about all that money I spent? That's your money. But my point to you is that God doesn't want you to be able to boast. He doesn't want you to be able to say, well, I went to Harvard. That's why he doesn't want. That's the world. And the world has done that and elevated those people. But there's a people who are without all of many of the things that people have in the world. And they're coming in now, and they're coming, and God's going to use the people who were no people and come and take back everything that was stolen in there. Come on now. And I'm not saying an education's bad, but an education's supposed to pull something out of you. Say amen to that. It's your gifting that he placed in you, and that education's supposed to help you surface that gift so you can work that gift, and that working that gift will improve that gift, and pretty soon it'll raise you up in whatever environment you're in, make room for you, and make people see that there is a God in heaven and he can raise you up. Say amen to that. Now, what am I saying here? One thing, so you can go where God's called you to do, and these things that I'm about to talk about are two of the main obstacles of receiving. One is lack of knowledge. Lack of knowledge. Look what he said in Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. He said, "My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I will also reject you." And I'm just saying that one of the things that you got to have is you got to have knowledge of what God says is yours. Say amen to this. And that you don't have to earn it. I said, you don't have to earn it. Now, you're saying, I don't go to work. Well, I believe one of the reasons why the revelation of not having to earn something is there is because people, if God told them they didn't have to earn it anymore, they wouldn't go to work. And that is not why he knows what your work is, your assignment. That's where he's going to use you to either double up on your gift and also make room for you so that people in that workplace will know that who God really is. It says, let your light so shine among who? Among men. He's leading you in there on purpose, but he's leading you into a battle you can't win. Yo, let me talk to this side. He's leading you into a fight you can't win. Not without him. But with him, you win every battle. There's not a battle at your job you can't win. Say amen to this. If it's performance, God will lay an anointing upon you that you will outperform anybody at that job. He laid a 10 times better anointing on these Hebrews, and they outperformed everybody, including the sorcerers. I'm telling you, he can lay an anointing upon Moses, who said to God, I can't talk. Then God made an orator out of him. Say amen. Amen. So I'm saying, don't say, wait a minute, I don't have this, I don't have that. No, what you don't have is knowledge. Because if you had knowledge of how God sees you and what God sees you doing, I tell you, it's almost too big for your thinking. Boy, I'm not going to say it almost. It is too big. Folks, when you think in terms of what God has for you, you got to think large and lavish. I'm going to go to that again. When you think what God has for you, you better start thinking large and lavish. Folks, the church is supposed to be the biggest real estate owners in every city. Ah, Lord, come on. The church is, I'm not backing off. I'm telling you what you're supposed to be. I just had a man come up the last service. He said, Pastor, I heard you say that. And guess what? He said, we got a 4-flat. I said, you and who? My wife. This young brother. I said, okay, how'd you? He said, Pastor, we did what you said. We listened to the Lord. He told us to go speak to it. Then he told us to go. And we kept saying this and kept saying this. And the realtor talking about, you really believe that stuff, don't you? And he sees now we believe it because we got the property. Pastor, we got it. Listen, God knows that the enemy kept the money from you. He knows that he kept you in debt. He kept you paying bills. He kept you so he kept you with limited funds. Listen, God said, come and buy with no money. That was Isaiah 55. Listen here. Listen, where he sends you, he's going to provide for you. My point to you is you got to have knowledge of how to access it. And the first bit of knowledge is that you don't work for this. This was Adam's from the start. And the devil took it, built on it, but everything he built is coming over to you. I said everything he built is coming over to you. So that's one obstacle. Another obstacle is capacity. Capacity. Now, I don't know whether you know how big God sees you. I really don't know whether you know that. I got to stop right there. I really don't know whether you know what all he sees you with. Come on. I don't know. We've allowed people associations. Come on, help me now. Mistakes that we make. We've allowed these things to marginalize our image of ourselves. No, those days are over. I want you to take on an air of superiority. I didn't say arrogance. I said superiority. Because when David came to the front line, he said, wait a minute, who is this big guy? They said, go back there and keep those sheep. See, it's always somebody that don't want you to step up. And what you got to do is you got to keep listening to folk like me and stop listening to Tylenol and this and that. I'm just saying, listen, nothing wrong with that, but I'm saying you got to have more word in you than you hearing from the world, because the devil will always give you something to say and something to do. And you got to say, wait a minute, I need to go and get me a fresh dose. Now, when you get it, understand that God at some point wants you to, he wants you to wean you off of people and put you on him. Glory to God. Are you following what I'm saying? There is something that I said here. I said this. I said, glory to God, that God does not want us to take from him the privilege of working for us. He doesn't want you to take that privilege away. We used to sing a song down there in that old church. What a friend we have in Jesus. Come on, y'all some don't Baptist. I have sins and grief to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Now listen to what I said. God does not want you to take away from him the privilege of working for you. See, we used to sing it, but did we do it? We would sing it and just be as broke. Now, say amen. Amen. So God wants to move you and get your foot back on the accelerator. Say amen to that. He wants you to start moving ahead again. Because at some point, he's got to wean you off of me. Thank God I have some faith. Thank God we have these things here. Say amen to that. But wait a minute. He wants you to have your things. He wants you to have something that God can point to and say, my daughter did that. Praise God. My son did that. See, it'll be different if you had to pay for it or if you had to work for it. But you don't have to do any of that. All you got to do is receive. When he said he's going to save you, what do you have to do? Receive him. That's all you had to do. When he said he's going to heal you, what do you have to do? I got to receive. When he said, it doesn't make any difference, folks. It's right across the salvation board. Whatever there is in salvation, and he did everything for you, and he paid for everything, you just got to receive. Yes, sir. So the biggest thing we need to work on is our capacity to receive. And that's what Jabez prayed. Lord, bless me indeed. Enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me and you'll keep me from evil. And I'm saying God is going to lead you from victory to victory, because this is your season now. I said, this is your season now. Now, if you want to be depressed, go be depressed somewhere else. But these people that are in this church, we're moving from victory to victory. I don't mind. See, even when I was a young man, I was in college, I knew I wasn't supposed to be broke. I knew that. I didn't even know Jesus. Well, I knew him, but I knew of him, but I really didn't know. But I knew I wasn't supposed to be broke. Why would God be rich and I'm broke? If I'm any kin to him, Am I right about it? Yes, and I just knew it. So I said, man, I'm in college. I said, everybody's broke in college. I said, everybody. I'm not everybody. I'm BW. I said, I know I'm not supposed to be broke. I organized me a band. We started playing a little bit and got kind of good. Gifts start rising up. Next thing you know, we got a bigger joint to play in. And so next thing so forth. Next thing you know, we in town hall opening up for Otis Redding. Listen, because we just increasing. Now I'm on my second Corvette. Because I'm talking about schoolboy. Come on now, come on. I'm talking about, I know I'm not supposed to be broke, because you can even take a gift and don't know God. I'm not advocating that, but I'm saying, listen, folks, we don't need to stay where we are. That your car has been on cruise. You've been saved and satisfied. This is not a time to be satisfied. We got things to do and places to go. And where he's taking you is going to be big stuff. Get ready for it. Get ready. And don't say, I don't need that. You do need that. Because if God needs it, you need it. So this is our time. And whatever comes against you, I'm not preaching this right now, but whatever comes against you, God's going to deal with it. Why? Because you're entering into the latter days. You're entering into a time that Jesus didn't preach. He just preached the part where the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he's anointed me to preach the gospel, so forth. And he closed the book and sat down. That was the end of his ministry. Then he went to the Lord, but he sent back the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost says, okay, now it's time for my ministry. Yeah. Now he's under the Lord Jesus, the Father, Jesus, and the Holy Ghost. But he's going to now have a different way of operating than Jesus did.
Yes, sir.
Because when Ananias and Sapphira told a lie in church, they dropped dead under the ministry of the Holy Ghost. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Listen, don't get scared. Get glad. Because we are now being fortified with God's power that we're going to go into places that men didn't go into.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And see what they're doing? They're making the laws of agree so that people think it's okay for same-sex marriage. Because the law says it's okay. But God's law says it's wrong.
Yes, sir.
I'm saying you're not mad at people, you get mad at the devil and gonna change his laws because the man didn't make it.
Yes, sir.
The devil made that law and he gonna have to give it up.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And I'm telling you, God will put his hand on somebody who kind of acting kind of strange and put his hand on them while they sleep and they'll wake up straight. It's the right bunch. Yeah. Now, we're not coming against anybody. Ain't no hate or nothing like that. I'm just telling you what the God that you serve can do. Say amen. You see, one of the big kings, Nebuchadnezzar, Darius, or whoever it was, I think it was Nebuchadnezzar, he thought he was all that. So he come talk about how big he is. And then a writing went on the wall and said, hey, you going to be like an ox out there in the field. And he kind of shrugged it off. The next thing you know, something came on him. Hair grew out of him. His nails grew out. He went out in the field and was crawling like an ox and did it for 7 years until he acknowledged that Jesus is Lord. And when that happened, he came back and God put him up again. God can take a man down, make him say Jesus is Lord, and put him back up. Now that's the God you serve, and that's the God that's in you, and that's who's going with you into the battle. Give God some praise, because we're going in. We are going in. Hey, hey, hey. Sit down. You gotta believe the love. That's all I was preaching. You gotta believe the love and receive the love. What God's got for you, you're gonna have to enlarge your capacity to receive it. He got you in a place. This is according to his picture of you, that you can walk in a company and decree a thing, and it shall be established. That's the God that's in you. Believe the love. Receive the love. Did you get something out of that? Give God praise. Come on, let's give God praise for that, because that was by the Spirit of God. Woo. All right. If you are here, God has spoken to your heart about being born again and want to get you born again. Now, you know who you are. I don't need to belabor this. Now, here's what I want you to do. I want you to allow me to pray for you the same prayer that prayed for me years ago and turn my life around forever. And I'm telling you, I was in bad shape. Just didn't know the Lord, head over heels.